I want to commend you this morning. Say, good job, guys, congregation, for sticking with me in this series so far. I had not quite realized the challenge of taking on 59 one another verses. The trouble, of course, is that each one of those verses has something to say to us, to teach us. And I don't want us to miss out on any of the goodness of God's Word. So I'm just diligently trying to get to every verse. And it does put a heavy load on you. You say, Pastor, you don't you need us to eat the whole pie all at once. Right? It's that kind of thing. I realize that, you know, what I present on a Sunday morning, and I can try to condense it in a half an hour, I work on that all week. And so I have much more chance to think about this and to contemplate it. And so after a while, I just say, well, yeah, of course, because I've already heard it on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday. Right? And by the time it's Sunday, I just kind of skip over it because it's familiar to me, right? And I realize that you guys are like hearing it for the first time, boom, in a half an hour. So, again, I'm glad that you're sticking with me. The alternative I've thought about, I thought, why don't we just do one verse every week? Of course, then it would take more than a year for us to complete this, and you might get tired of that. I don't know. So, well done, and take heart. There are only 7 one another verses that deal with humility. Humility is our focus for today. Let's pray that God's Spirit guides us as we read His Word so that we can apply it rightly to the way that we live. Let us pray. Father in heaven, humble us before you and help us to realize that this is not something that makes us any less. Bowing before you, in fact, lifts you up, and it is you that lifts us up. So lift us up, Father, with your word. Speak to us this morning in a way that we can understand. We pray this in Jesus' name. So, we read today a longer passage from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 11. And that's then going to be followed by a single verse from Matthew 23, verse 12. And I think these scriptures capture, I think, the essence of what it means to live together humbly. And our scripture is going to be read this morning by the Brinks. Corin and Esther, I believe, are going to be reading the scripture for us this morning. Oh, you might probably have to pull the mic back in.
I am reading from Philippians 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus.
Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name. And that at the name Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.
Linda has warned me about using certain colors, and this color may be a little hard for you to see, so I hope that's not going to get in the way this morning. Humility. It is not a word or a quality that's well understood anymore, or maybe it never was, I don't know. What I do know is that it is a word or quality that brings up all kinds of negative images, negative connotations, and even negative stereotypes. Now, the root word of humility is humble, being humble. And it is rarely used anymore or promoted as a virtue. Right? I think people have a hard time wrapping their minds around how many of you would love to be humble. Well, of course, you can't raise your hand, because if you raise your hand, then you're no longer humble. And so right away, we're in that space of, what do you do with that word anyway? So, since this is the case, I thought, you know what, it may be helpful to look up other words that kind of maybe give us some insight, synonyms, words that kind of mean the same thing, and maybe that'll help us this morning. And this is what I found, a list of words that purportedly mean the same thing. Can you pick up that, or is that too small for your aging eyes? So, I noticed that the words that supposedly mean the same thing, and I will read some of those to you since it is too small, those words are largely negative words, right? Small, low, inferior. These are synonyms, remember, of supposedly, of humble. Humiliated, broken, crushed, demean, wound, spite, smash. Now these are being offered to us as synonyms of words that mean the same thing as being humble. Take down, put down. And here come a set of words that I think, wow, abase, degrade, disgrace, bruise, demolish, injure, crush, humiliate, offend, mortify, and hurt. So this is what's being offered us as to help us understand what it means to be humble. How many of you want to be humble? So with a list like this, I think it is no wonder that most people, Christians included, stay away from the virtue of humility. It doesn't seem like much of a virtue, something you want or desire. Yes, I did say virtue. There are seven one another verses that deal with humility. Seven among the 59 one another verses that are directed at the followers of Jesus. That's you and I. Seven verses that define humility, that help us to understand what the Bible means by humility, and how humility relates to one anothering, Remember, we are in a series that looks at the one another verses. John 13, verse 14 has to do with washing feet. Not your own feet, but someone else's. Romans 12, verse 10 calls us to honor one another and the other person above yourself. A few verses down, verse 16, tells us to live in harmony with one another as a way of describing what it means to live in humility. Galatians 5, verse 13, is about serving. We all want good service, don't we? And we don't leave tips when we don't get the good service. Well, this is about giving someone else service. Ephesians 5, sorry, is the next one, is about submitting. And what comes to mind here, I have two older brothers. And I have maybe, so they used to put me down on the ground. And they say, submit, submit. Or they make me say something. Until I let me say something, they would not let me go. If you have older brothers, you've probably experienced that. Submit. And again, so what does that mean? In and among the passage we read this morning is Philippians 2, verse 3, which is about considering one another, considering the other above or better than yourself. And then lastly, there is 1 Peter 5, verse 5, in which Jesus' followers are told to clothe themselves with humility towards one another. So there's lots of verbs here, lots of action words. So if you've been complaining that the pastor never gives us any practical advice about how to apply this stuff, go and do all this stuff. Come back to me next week. See if you want some more applications. These are many ways in which to turn the idea, the virtue of humility into practice. So a few words about each action. Washing of feet specifically, and this is really as culturally bound as greeting one another with a holy kiss. Remember that from last week? Greet each other with a kiss of love. We saw that this is very much culturally bound. People in Jesus' time, of course, walked in dusty roads, dirty roads, in sandals or even bare feet. And then they would lay at the table to eat, like the Greeks and the Romans. Now imagine having someone's stinky feet in your face as you're about to eat. Not pleasant. And so now you understand where that idea of washing feet comes from. I got a practical example of that. Anna Marie and I visited a refugee family who were from Syria, and when we got there, they had this huge spread of food, and they wanted to show us hospitality, and they do it like no other people. And so they laid out this tablecloth, beautiful woven cloth, onto the floor, and they put so much food on there that it's like, oh, if you wonder why pastors get fat, it's because people give them all this kind of stuff. And it was on the floor, and it was all there, and then they said, come, let's eat. And so we all sat down on the floor, and I didn't know what to do with my feet. You never think about that at home, right? You sit down in a chair, and they're hidden behind beneath a table top. And here I was, and I was trying to stick my leg out that way, and that way, and this way, and that way. And so it made it practical for me. So the washing of feet was a necessary practice in the day, a task reserved for the lowly servants, because it's not a job that everyone would appreciate. Imagine what else walked on those roads. Dogs, goats, cattle, and they didn't always, sometimes they drop things. So are we to do it today, this washing of feet? Well, it is not as necessary as it was in the first century, obviously. But, interestingly, it is still able to instill the same strong lesson about humility, about being willing to do the menial, about stepping up to present yourself for service, and doing it for one another, one for the other, implies that there is no one above another. Honoring above self. This is said in describing how we are to love one another. Romans 12, verse 10 actually uses the words, be devoted to one another. This is, it seems to me, a whole other level. Devotion goes beyond, well, if I have to. Devotion is about lifting up. It's about holding high. It's about a deeper commitment than we usually think about when we speak about brotherly love. I ask you, what do you think it means to be devoted to one another? I think that's another level of love. Be so devoted to one another . Do we treat each other like that generally as Christians? Do we treat each other like that at first here in this church? Are we willing to take second place that we are so devoted to the other people that come to church that we want to lift them up and that we're okay with not taking center stage? Well, living in harmony with one another, what does that have to do with humility, you may wonder? Well, it addresses pride and the jockeying for position and power plays and preferences and who gets heard and who gets forgotten and who gets ignored. It's all of that. Do not be proud, says the Bible, but be willing to associate with people of low position. And then it adds, do not be conceited. Don't think you're all that. I think it's pretty clear. And I don't really want to add anything to that. Serving. Serving one another in love. Galatians 5 ties this. Are you ready for this? Galatians 5 ties serving each other in love to freedom. How many of you have, when you say the word serve, let me serve you, how many of you think, I have the freedom to serve this person? We don't often think about those terms. Christ has set you free. You were bound to sin and sinfulness and selfishness and conceit and to pride, and you thought you were all that, and you thought you were the center of the universe, and you were unable to think about anybody else but yourself. And Christ has taken that and he's broken those chains, he's crushed that, and he has set you free. So now you're free to serve. Don't use your freedom to continue to promote yourself and for selfish gain. I've set you free. Go and do good things for people. Go and show them the love that I've just shown you by setting you free. We're free to serve. Would you rather be chained to a wall? Or would you rather be walking about freely to serve? Submitting to one another, not you to me, not her to him, not he to she, not slave to master, not young to olds or old to young, not only wife to husband, but husband to wife. And here's one for you parents, not only kids to parents, but parents to kids. Submit to one another. Wow, that's radical. And I will take some humility. Considering others better than yourselves, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Philippians 2, verse 4. Now, how are we doing with that? Are you even aware of the needs of others? How aware are you? About the person sitting next to you, about the person sitting in front of you, the person sitting behind you? Do you care? Do you care to know where they're at, what they need? Or are you on the other end of that stick? Are you feeling neglected? Do you recognize that you're not always right? Do you realize that the Spirit speaks also to other people? I love it when people say, well, the Spirit told me, and that then trumps everybody else. Spirit was given to the church. Could it be that you are wrong sometimes? Could it be that you're the one in need of correction or forgiveness? Just asking. Clothe yourselves with humility. Cover yourselves. I stumbled with this one, and I prayed through this one because I'm thinking clothing yourself. It made me worry a little bit because you can put a coat on to be humble, and then you can take it off, and then right. So that clothing yourself is tough for me because I can put clothes on and take them off at will, right? And so, but I think what the Bible is getting at here is cover your nakedness. Your naked pride, your naked self-centeredness. Take the plank out of your own eye, accept Christ's robe, his robe of humility. You know those soldiers that took his robe at the time of crucifixion? They took his robe and they divided it into pieces. Had they known that they were taking his robe of humility and that each of them would now be bound to be humble, they probably wouldn't have taken the robe. So, the opposite of humility is what? Pride. And the Bible speaks of pride and humility in terms of clusters. I love clusters. There are clusters of things that the Bible associates with pride and humility. When the Bible speaks of pride, it addresses idolatry and the self. Making yourself the center of attention, choosing your own way rather than God's way. It addresses rebellion and factiousness. What in the world is factiousness? Well, it's an old word for dividing into factions, separating rather than uniting, breaking rather than building. So when the Bible speaks of humility, on the other hand, it is talking about submission to God's ways and obeying Him. It's about realizing your need for grace and being willing to serve. Pride and humility, biblically speaking, is about lifting up and pushing down. Who asks the Bible? Who asks the God of the Bible? Are you lifting up? Are you lifting yourself up? Are you lifting others up? And who are you pushing down to make yourself look better? And what is important to you? Who and what are you lifting up as important? And who and what are you pushing down as being of lesser value? That's how the Bible speaks about pride and humility. Humility in biblical terms is about the direction of your heart, of your desires, of the things you want. It is about the direction of your choices. Are your choices always lifting yourself up, putting yourself at the center of the universe, or are your choices pushing yourself down so that others take a higher place? Is what you want more important? No, you need to push that away and you need to lift up what God wants. And that then brings us to our passage, and that's the color that you probably can't see. Philippians 2, 1 through 11. It starts out as a teaching on how we are to relate to one another, and then it breaks into a beautiful psalm of praise. Now, the two readers we had this morning, you right, first there was some teaching, and then the second person, Esther, came up, and she read a psalm of praise about Jesus. Notice how our passage started, and you should be able to see that. If you, and this makes it very personal, if you have any encouragement with being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from His love. Now, I want you to notice something else that's very interesting. What was the first sermon? What was the first bunch of verses about? Unity. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, what was the second set of verses that we looked at about? Oh, I was the only one here. The second set of verses that we looked at last week were about love, right? So if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from His love, and where are we going now? We're going towards humility, right? Where am I? Notice, and I've highlighted this, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you have any comfort from His love, Christ's love, what is this about here? Christ. So drop down to verse 8. He, that is Jesus, humbled Himself even to death on a cross. Verse 9. Therefore, God lifted Him up. What did Christ do with Himself? He came down. What did God do in response? He lifted Him up, verse 10, that at the name of who? Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? So what I want you to see here is that from beginning of our passage, it's about Christ, and at the end, who are we talking about? Christ. It's all about Christ. It's about His love and it was about His sacrifice. And why should we have such great respect for the name of Jesus? Because He was willing to humble Himself. And even God said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And He lifted Him up. And He seated Him where? At the right hand of God the Father Almighty. What do we learn about the power of His name and His place in God's kingdom? We learn that Jesus humbled Himself to serve. He bowed Himself to God's will. He obeyed God's purpose for Him. And therefore, God exalted Him. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place. Exaltation, being and becoming someone, is a God action. See, if you're out to exalt yourself, if you're out to climb the ladder, if you're out to have people notice you and to praise you for who you are and how good you are, that's going to go wrong. But if you're willing to humble yourself and serve and do the things that God wants of you, you will be lifted up by God. It's a God action. And the interesting thing is that the way to exaltation is humility. The way to glory is the cross. The way to eternal life is to die to yourself. The Bible flips everything upside down. Now, dying to the self is not a call to martyrdom. So does everyone have to now die on the cross? Is that what we're being called to? Not necessarily. I think the call to dying to the self is a call to a God-centered life. It is not making life and living all about yourself, but living your life with God at the center. It is about setting yourself aside and giving greater priority to Him, to loving Him. And then, there's two great commandments. Do you remember them? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Lift Him up. And the second commandment is like that. Love your neighbor as yourself. But you got to get that right. In giving greater priority to God, because that's where you need to start. And then to others, then you will find what you were designed for. That you will find yourself. That you will find wholeness. As long as you lift yourself up, as long as you make yourself the center of your choices, and as long as you think that you're in charge, you will be humbled. Now, sorry guys in the back there, you know, a lot of guys are in the breakout program. I'm always so happy to see you that you're here. And you're being taught principles. Like if you try to break what's holding you, your addictions, your struggles, if you get so arrogant that you think you've got this thing beat, and if you walk out of Hope Mission and you think, "Oh, I can do this, no problem," what's going to happen? you're going to fall flat on your face. And you're going to start that cycle all over again. You've experienced that. I'm not trying to, right? I'm just saying, is that right? Am I getting that right? And what needs to happen is that you got to say, Lord, I need help because this thing is breaking me. I don't have enough strength. I don't have enough willpower. I screw this up. And so you need to humble yourself, and you need to give God the power in your life, because if you rely on your own strength, you're gonna be humbled by whatever is holding you. Life will humble you. And I'm not just talking only now to the breakout guys anymore. Life will humble you. Sin will humble you. And in the end, God will humble you if you put yourself above Him. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, says verse 5. Your attitude. Not that you have to die on that cross like He did to pay for your sins. You can't and you don't have to. Jesus did that. But the attitude of Christ, your attitude of humility, should grow in you. Should take a hold of you. Should guide you in all your choices and all your relationships. There is only one God, and the rest of the universe needs to bow down to Him. Including you and me, including First Church, we need to bow down to His glory. It is the only right stance towards the God of glory. Are you with me? You see, Philippians 2 is a kind of framework through which to see all the other verses on humility. Humility lies at the heart of who Jesus is, and it's the kind of humility that we are called to as His followers, and it is only possible in Christ and through what He has done, and it would be foolish for us to try it on our own. We must find our strength in Jesus as we practice humility amongst one another. Washing of feet. Jesus says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, follow my example. That's what He's saying. Honoring others above oneself, does that mean I need to cower in some corner, all meek and humble? No, honor one another above yourselves, says the Bible. And then it goes on to say, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving one another. That's not what it says. It actually says, serving one another, serve as if you are serving the Lord. The humility of honoring others above yourself is rooted in a fire and in a passion for serving Christ. Living in harmony even with the lowly and the low down. Well, Jesus hung out with the blind, the lame, prostitutes, and tax collectors. Serving one another in humility. I did not come to be served, Jesus said, but to serve. Submitting? Submit to one another. Are you reading what I'm reading? Submit to one another, not because they're so good. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. The point is this. We all struggle with certain people in our lives. Let's be honest. Please don't identify that person in your life. And the Bible says submit to one another, and you say, I just can't. That person just bugs me. You know what that person has done to me? It'll be a cold day in hell where I will submit to that person. If you can't do it for who they are, do it for me, says Christ. If I mean anything to you, if your commitment to me means anything to me, if my love for you means anything to you, then submit to that person, not for who he is, but for who I am. Wow. That's something to think about. Considering others better than myself, that's hard to grasp in English. The Greek says literally, this is how it's translated, literally, in humility, one another be esteeming. That's what Jesus did when he died for you. He was lifted up on the cross to lift you up to God. He was esteeming us by dying on the cross. Let your attitude towards one another be like his, as that of Christ Jesus, says Philippians. And clothing myself in humility, yes, because God opposes the proud, and he will give you the grace to do this. Like, I'm not asking you to do this in your own strength, and if you do, you'd be a fool. Why do you need Jesus at the center of your life and the center of your heart? So you can tap into his strength. I hope you see clearly the presence of God, the example of God, the character of God in each of the one another verses on humility. And I pray that the call to humility may motivate you in your relationships to one another. But remember, don't try this on your own. Draw your strengths from him. See, it turns out that humility is kind of a bedrock virtue, one that provides many other Christian virtues a place to stand, and one that depends on the grace of God to live well. In God, we move and live and have our being. He must become greater, and I must become less. And it was the writer and theologian C.S. Lewis who said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. People of first, you are children of God. You are made in his image. You are precious to him. Your worth and your value is not in question. So try a little humility. This will not in no way diminish you. Instead, it will make you grow. Grow to be more like Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us not to be afraid of humility, and help us not to be afraid of what other people think of us when we take second place. It doesn't matter what they think. What matters is that you are the God that loves us, and our value, our worth, lies in you and your great love and in what you have done for us. And I think that's the final amen. Amen indeed.